The anointing of God is to anoint your flesh. Your spirit's already anointed. Why does it need to be anointed? So it can cooperate with the things of God. Does everybody understand that? See, the anointing is to anoint your flesh. That's why Jesus told him, he says, when I am hallowed in you. In the Old Testament, it talks about being hallowed. In other words, when God is honored within us, when there is reverence and respect to him. And I believe that's one of the things where people fall short of many times, is respecting and honoring the presence of God. They get caught up in religiosity. They get caught up in everything else but seeking God. Hello. The Lord says, seek me with all of your heart. Seek me with all of your heart. He said something very powerful also. He said, if you want to be a disciple of mine, you got to hate your family. What do you mean, man? That's exactly what he says. He's got to be first no matter what. He is before your wife. He's before your children. He's before everything. Or you will always go in the cycle, the vicious cycle of falling, getting up, falling, getting up. Why? Because he's never been first. You know, remember something. He rebuked them in the book of Revelations, the letter he sent to the church. He said, I see all the wonderful things you're doing. That's good. I mean, man, you read that, and it's powerful. He tells them all the one. He says, man, I see that you hate evil. I see you do this. I see you do that. He said, but there's something that I have against you. You have lost your first love. Some of us have never gotten the first love yet. That's a choice. If you want a first love, you make that choice. People meet each other and they end up chasing each other. Usually it's lust at first bite. Then they end up loving each other. But the first part is usually lust at first bite. Hello? See, but he says, you've lost your first love. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice. You read in Corinthians 13, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. The Bible tells us these are your feelings. Peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. People are led by how they feel instead of truth. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, who told you that? God is not the God of feeling. He's the God of truth. It's the truth that makes you free. There isn't any greater feeling than to be free. Freedom is the greatest feeling you can have. Not to be bound by anything of this world, but to be bound by the things of heaven is the greatest thing. So that you don't give a hoot about nothing. You constantly walk in peace, joy, and righteousness. So the dog got hit by a car. Hallelujah. You go out there and you pick up the pieces, you put them together, and you lay your hands on the dog. Amen? And you go, hallelujah. If the dog dies, praise God. You can't let the things of the world and circumstances of your life affect you. That's how people get caught up. The Bible tells us if you're a warrior of Christ, you cannot entangle yourself in the affairs of God, in the world. Only entangle yourself in the affairs of heaven or you'll be wiped out. He also said, let me tell you something. This is powerful. We got a wonderful teaching. And the saying in the teaching is called, if you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. You know, there's too many weenies in the body of Christ. People need to get bold now and stand up for the truth. Because it's the truth that makes you free, and the greatest feeling there is freedom. Freedom. We must go back to our first love. I don't care what the doctors told you. I don't care what the labels are. I don't care all the things of the world that has entangled you in the affairs of labels, and people accept them. It's amazing how quickly they'll accept what a doctor says instead of what Jesus says. Oh man, I got this, this, and that. Well, what did Jesus tell you? Well, he says, I'm healed. And shut up. And accept what Jesus told you. But what if? No, no, no. There is no if. It's God's will to heal. It's God's will to deliver. It's God's will. Too many people agree with what the devil says and disagree with what God says. That's called denying Jesus. See, if you can't deny yourself, hello? You're going to either deny yourself or deny Jesus, one or the other, in every decision and everything you do. We are coming in another area of growth in the body of Christ. We all know we're in a new season, a season of power and prosperity. But God is not going to pour out His power and His prosperity on those who misuse them and those who don't know how to use them. He looks for the humble. He looks for the obedient. He looks for the submissive. And He looks for one who denies himself. Like I said, there's too many weenies, and God wants to bring us up to become warriors. Warriors of Jesus. Too many people doing things because of self-promotion instead of God-promotion. Amen? Hey, we're in Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School. That's what it's about. He's raising up men and women of God to be warriors, to be officers, to become leaders, not to become rug mats for the enemy. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We're going somewhere this morning. I'm not sure yet, but we're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Come on, grab those swords. So there's something that you and I must constantly do. Besides deny yourself, that's a constant. That's just no question about it. But by denying yourself in a constant allows you to stay connected. And I want to talk about staying connected this morning. Staying connected. Go to John 10. It's a simple teaching this morning. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Turn them fast enough and you'll fan your neighbor. Hallelujah. Staying connected. Praise God. And John chapter 10 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. I want to welcome everybody here that's new today. It's your first timer. That's good. Don't be offended when we tell people you got to die. Nobody will lock you in here. But I want to welcome everybody that's brand new today. How many all brand new today? Hallelujah! Glory to God. And verse 7, would you read it with me? John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. In other words, he's doing it for profit. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others say, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now I want to share with you, I know that they were talking about a man that was blind and a miracle, but I want to talk to you about another area of blindness, and that's where the truth is what brings light, and light is what allows you to see. It talks about Jesus being the shepherd of a flock, and others being the sheep. God has many shepherds and many flocks all over. He's even called one of another fold. There are certain purposes and functions for each one that is out there. God has specific plans and a duty for every single one. And when God sends you into a fellowship of a flock underneath a shepherd, of course, everybody's underneath a true shepherd, amen, but he places offices in the body of Christ for that specific purpose. But what happens is the devil's purpose is to come steal, kill, and what? Destroy. What he likes to do is he likes to draw a sheep out of a flock. No matter what kind or whatever, it doesn't matter where you're connected, what he wants to do is draw you out, it says, so he can eat you up. You know, it is so important about staying connected, because that is certainly a fruit. Once you find an individual that was a part of a flock and begins to be disconnected, you know that the wolf is eating him up already. It's already happening. And it's just a matter of time where the manifestation will come to pass. But see, a shepherd will know instantly. Knows instantly. I know instantly what usually is going on. But I'm not led to always say it. Most of the time the Lord says, let the course run. For they rejected my counsel, and I will reject them from being priests for me. And because they've rejected being priests for me and forgotten my law, I will reject their children. You know, it's that simple. It's that simple. See, God knows what goes on beyond closed doors. He knows exactly what's going on. It's amazing how people think, oh, don't let nobody see us. Hello, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Amen? God knows exactly what's going on in every area of our life. So we must stay connected. See, if you're not connected in the body, you're not connected to the King. Is everybody with me? There's no Lone Rangers out there. If you're not connected with the body, you're not connected with the King. That's how the devil begins. And what happens, the devil begins to promote pride. You know how many people walk away because of offense? How many people I've talked to, I was offended at church, so I chose never to go again. Well, you weren't there seeking God then. You were just trying to promote yourself in the flock. Because if you're really seeking God, you know, many people can't take correction. When you try to correct an individual, they go, oh, well, I'm not going to even do it then. That's called pride. That's called pride. Why? Because they're not willing to receive correction. And if they can't receive correction from man, how are you going to receive correction from God Almighty? It's impossible. This is how God corrects us. This is how he tests us. The Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. It's amazing how people lose sight that this is the body of Christ. If it's the body of Christ, what is the body of Christ? Well, it's just a building. No, it's the body of God Almighty. People don't submit, then they can't resist. How much you submit to God is how much you'll be able to resist the devil. You submit a little bit, that's how much you can resist the devil. If you can submit all the way, you got dominion. But see, the enemy loves to bring offenses because he promotes pride. Let me tell you, pride, the fruit of pride is offense. Oh man, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. People love to run because they can't be corrected. Somebody tells them about correction. No, no way. I'll just find another fellowship. I'll find another job. I'll find another spouse. I'll find another friend. No, you just shook hands at a devil. That's your friend now. Mr. Pride, personal reverence into a deadly end. Pride is the killer. Amen. That's what removed Satan from God's presence, was pride. Why? Because he began to exalt himself. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know. We got all that, but praise God. Hallelujah. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Now, they said that he had a demon because he was telling the truth. You know why they were resisting the truth? Because they were being exposed. Oh, he's got a demon. The problem was, is they're the ones that had the demon, not the Lord. Amen? So here's a place where to protect the sheep from getting eaten from the wolf as a vital part in the body of Christ. That's why God has shepherds and officers and overseers. The Bible says that they oversee for the individual soul. God always, and He also tells us that we are more accountable. Amen? We are accountable not only to declare the truth, but to carry the truth and live according to the truth. Amen? Each and every one of us. So when you've got the truth, now you're accountable. I remember going into prison one time, and there was all these inmates, and they had tiers of them. It was my first time in there. And I began to preach and share all kinds of stuff about demons and about Jesus and so forth. And when I got done preaching and sharing, I said, okay, you're now all accountable. Oh, they didn't like that. You're accountable now. What do you mean? Because you heard the truth, and one day you'll stand before God and He'll tell you that He sent His servant to tell you the truth. You can either receive it or reject it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So, staying connected is very, very vital, important part of your life to be a part of the body of Christ. Even when God separates you for a period of time for you to seek Him, you're still involved in a fellowship in the body of Christ. Amen? But this is one of the ploys of the devil. Your enemy will always want to separate you to eat. Did you ever see the coyote and the roadrunner? What's the other one with the dog? You know, the old one. Some of y'all might not be that old, I guess. Anyways, I don't know. Yeah, it was the coyote and the dog. He was the shepherd of he used to be around the Bugs Bunny time, you know. Yeah, he'd come in and punch the time clock. It was the coyote. Yeah. Hey, Fred. Hey, how you doing today? You know? The dude used to get his butt kicked all the time, man. And there was this dog that would just sit up and he was the shepherd of all the flock and all the sheep. And he would just sit up there, he had hair all over his face. You couldn't see that he could see. And the coyote would sneak in there and grab his sheep and he'd grab the wolf, because he would grab the dog, because the dog would put on a sheep's clothes, you know, and he'd grab him, and he'd beat him up again, and so forth. Blow him up, beat him up, and everything else. But it always reminds me of that, because the wolf is always out to get the sheep. Always. Always. Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood, you're fighting powers of darkness. You've got to come against these fiery darts. But it's amazing how easy people get offended. And I want you to understand, the reason why people get offended is because they are prideful. Because they're really not seeking God, they're more about seeking self. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Hello. Go to Psalm 133. Staying connected. If you're not connected, you are disconnected. If you're not connected with the body, you're disconnected with God. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Psalm 133, please. It's right after 132. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me, please? Oh, hallelujah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwell together in unity. Remember, unity is power. Amen? It is like a precious oil. That precious oil is about our precious anointing. Upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So we know that there is a blessing every time you and I come together. Because he says, it is good for brethren to dwell together. Why? There's a special anointing. It's precious. Now what's the anointing for? To anoint your flesh so that you can become one with the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Bible even tells us your flesh can become holy. Well, those who are led by the Spirit have crucified their flesh. Well, how's it been crucified? By the anointing. Hebrews 10. Really, did you ever notice somebody that hasn't been fellowshipping? Their fruits stink. They're not only deceived, but they deceive. They're convinced that what they're doing is of God. Hebrews 10. And the wolf gently begins to eat them apart. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, 23, please. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises what? Faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and what? Good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So he says that we're to what? Assemble ourselves together. Not forsaking to assemble. Not forsaking to assemble. No, I'm not trying to build the church. We are the church. Amen? I'm here to declare the truth because I see too many go astray. I see too many make vows and break them. I see too many people who have been blessed now become cursed. And it's plumb ridiculous. All because they can't deny themselves. And pride has entered in. Amen? Praise God. Go to Deuteronomy 12. Oh, yeah. Deuteronomy 12. Hallelujah. Start at verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving to you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall what? Utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispose serve their what? Their gods on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall what? In other words, God chooses where you're to go, not you. Does everybody understand? God chooses you where to go, not you. Well, I'm led to be going here. Well, then, if that's what God is choosing you to do, then you do it. Don't hesitate. But let me share something with you, and it blows my mind. Not that there isn't any perfect place or perfect pastor, because there's not. There's not a perfect church. There's only one perfect. Amen, and that's Jesus. But you know, if things aren't right at the head, it flows down. If there's fornication in the head, I can guarantee you there's fornication in the body. Now, yes, everybody must work out their own salvation. Amen? But if there's prosperity and blessing at the head, then it flows down also. Why? That's only if you're cooperating and in line with the will of God. But if you're not and everybody else is getting in and you're not, it's because something ain't right with you. Not because it's something ain't right somewhere else. Hello? So God chooses you where to go. It's amazing how people are still supporting a pastor because of promotion, tradition. They're still supporting a pastor because the place was well known for a name. When the pastor's not right. I've talked with many people and one of the things that they share, well, we're praying for him. Praise God, pray for him. But don't pray for him there. Get out of there. Why? Because then what you're doing is saying what he did or she did is okay. Does everybody understand that? It's okay. Well, that's not how God operates. He says, depart from evil. Don't promote evil. Amen? I mean, there are, it just blows my mind. They find pastors in topless places. Strip joints. Fornicating. All kinds of things. I mean, you're seeing more and more things get exposed more and more now. They're supposed to be shepherds of a flock. I remember one time I was at this gentleman's house to do some work for something, and he was a pastor of a church, and that's all he kept talking about was he's waiting. He kept saying about putting applications or his resume out to other churches, and he's gonna the one that's willing to pay him the most is the one he's going to. I thought, whoa, this guy's in left field, man. He's a hireling, and you know what? If somebody else offers him more money, he'll leave that flock and go for more money. Does everybody understand that? When I heard this, very well-dressed man, you know, wanting some stuff done to his house, but when I heard him boasting about how he could preach and how he could do this, man, I just shut my mouth. I didn't say nothing. I didn't let him know who I was or anything. And it just grieved my spirit. I thought, whoa. And I was pretty new in the industry. And I thought, well, this can't be how they operate. I know it. And I kept looking at this. I thought, well, where's your relationship of God? Where's your fear and reverence to the Lord? How could you even say such things? You know what? There wasn't one. wasn't. Somebody went to school and got a bunch of knowledge, began to teach the knowledge, but not the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So where to go where God sends you? Amen? Where is God sending you? Go to Acts chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Staying connected. There's a flow of life when you're connected. If you're disconnected, there's a flow of death. Just something that just ain't right. You know? And you could be getting blessed, but something just ain't right. You know, because you can get blessed and the devil seems to steal that blessing. It just doesn't hold on long enough. You get to see it, hold it, yeah, great, and the next thing you know, you gotta get rid of it. Or the devil steals it. Because something's not right. In Acts chapter 1, is everybody there? Starting at verse 4. Would you read it with me, please? Being what? Whoa, man, they must have been, that means get together. And being assembled together with them. He what? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he was not only assembled with them, but he was making a command that they stay assembled and wait for the promise of the Father. Now we know that this was the Feast of Pentecost, and I've shared this before, that there was around 500 of the disciples there when he was telling them to stay assembled. Well, the Feast of Pentecost was coming up, so 380 of them disobeyed God and went to the feast instead of going to the upper room. The 120 that went to the upper room and waited and stayed assembled got blessed. They received the promise of the Lord. They did not. The other 380 missed God and went to the tradition, thinking that they were doing God's will. They were not assembled. Now, if Jesus showed up and said, this is what I want you to do, how could you say no to him? 380 of them said no to him. Because they were bound by traditions of men. Hello? Now, is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now go to Acts chapter 2. In verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all what? With one accord in one place, they were what? Assembled. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is how the church started. It started on obedience. Jesus first appeared to them and said, this is what I want you to do. 120 of them obeyed. 380 disobeyed. Is everybody with me? They missed God. You know what happened? They got disconnected, didn't they? That's why it's so important about staying connected. Staying connected. The other 120 got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the church started right from there. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Staying connected, man. You must stay connected. Hallelujah. In verse 16, Luke 4 and 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So we come, he's talking about fellowshipping and coming together, right? In the synagogue where they were learning the word. That's called Bible studies. Hello. It's amazing how many people don't come to Bible studies. It's amazing how many people won't go to worship services. You know what's preventing them? They can't deny themselves. They're too entangled in the affairs of the world. Amen? Too much entangled in the affairs of the world. It hinders them. Now, in verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Now, where was he when he was saying this? Oh, Lord, he was assembled. He has sent me to heal. No, to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your what? In your hearing. Where were they? They were assembled together. Today the scripture is fulfilled. They were in the synagogue, their place of fellowship, to hear the scriptures. See, the scriptures will fulfill you. Unless you're submissive and obedient in these areas and connected, is everybody with me? The scriptures of God, which is the word of God, Jesus said today the scriptures are fulfilled. Well, the scriptures are supposed to be fulfilled in you. Well, that's not going to happen unless you're assembling. Now, yes, you must study the word of God. Well, you're in fellowship then, aren't you? Amen. But that's why God has us come together so we can do Bible study. That's why he has you study the Word. Why? Because the Bible says that you are the written epistle of God Almighty. You're supposed to be the walking Bible. Now, I know that the Bible is a very small part of what Jesus did. Because the Bible tells us that all the things he did couldn't be contained in enough books in the earth. So now you're the extension of the Bible. Do you know that everything about you is another chapter which is written? Why? Because it's written in heaven. It's called the Book of Remembrance. So who knows? Everybody that's a believer and a part of the body of Christ, when this whole creation is gone, and there's a new creation started, which we'll be a part of, there'll be maybe another book that will never depart. There'll be written in heaven that others will read about in the new creation. Does everybody understand that? All of those things are possible, aren't they? So you be in the book. Everything you did. Thank God the things you repented for won't be recorded. Washed by the blood. That's called Holy Ghost eraser. Now, I think that's it. Yeah, I should. Let's go to Romans 10. So he said, the scripture was fulfilled in your what? Hearing. Oh, Romans 10. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? It's okay. Get convicted. Get chastened. God says He chastens those He loves. Receive the counsel, correction, and direction. Get back in position and get blessed. And don't do it again. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now let's start at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in Him who of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, or a messenger, or apostle, or disciple? Everything you learn here, you better be able to teach. Because if everything that you're learning here is not going to prepare for teaching, then you're not getting it. Then you're just storing up something, putting it on the shelf. Everything you get when you come into fellowship, you should be able to teach. Hello? You're all to be called teachers. If you're to be like your daddy Jesus, what was He? A teacher. He was a prophet. He moved in all the gifts of the Spirit. He was filled. He was joyful. He exalted others. Hello? He promoted others. He denied Himself. And He exposed the devil. He didn't take no garbage either. He called a Pharisee, and a hypocrite. I think there's Bonehead in here somewhere. I don't know. I'll have to find it. Must be another translation, that's all. Guyology. In verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are what? Sent. They didn't run, they were sent. Hello. Has everybody got it? Unless they were what? Sent. They didn't run, man. Oh, God told me it's time to go. That's good. Did He tell your shepherd it's time for you to go? It's always confirmation through the office. Hello? How many times have... Come on, every one of us has done it. Oh, God told me to do this. And it wasn't God. But man, you'd have laid down your life, thought it was God. You know why? Because it felt good to the flesh. Hello? Come on, you don't have to hide your heads anymore. Why? Because it felt good to the flesh. And oh, my pride was there. Didn't want to be corrected. I got another way to feel better. I'll just run. Forget being sent. We get a lot of people that come into the discipleship house. I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving. This is it. Praise God. Well, God told me to go now. Well, you didn't fulfill what you were supposed to. Well, it's God. Well, God never interrupts Himself. Never. Amen. And if He does interrupt Himself, He'll let your shepherd know. Because the purpose of interruption, it's called divine intervention. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Verse 15, please. I want to repeat this, please. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? S-E-N-T. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they shall not all obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So you're hearing the Word of God. You know what's happening? You know what's happening right now? Not only is your faith being increased, but the devil's being exposed. Does everybody got in? You know what? Because now you're able to review all the goofy things you did. Come on, we all did it. You know, you worship yourself. It's called idolatry and harlotry. We become the idol. And let me share something else with you. When you become the idol, you become the accursed thing. Now, the devil likes to plant accursed things into the body because accursed items draw demonic activity. So there's something special about hallelujah. A lot of people run to big churches so they can hide. It's not easy here. Because your fruit will be exposed. Amen? And you'll know them. What do you mean you can't judge me? Oh yeah, I will. I'll judge your fruit. Amen? Not granola, fruit. We got enough fruities. What God wants us to be fruitful in the Spirit. Amen? We're to judge one another's fruit. And fruit, of course, is a response of how they live, conduct, how they respond, whether they're reacting according to the old man or acting according to the new man. If those things are not manifesting in an individual's life, there is an open door somewhere. Somebody's touching something unclean, agreeing with something unclean. Amen? Jesus is coming back for a blemish-free church. Amen? See, this is where, I mean, even Paul said, openly rebuke them. Don't fellowship with them. They're still your brothers and sisters, but don't fellowship with them. Don't even sit down and eat with them. It's amazing how many people will run to money instead of the truth. They'll run to unrighteous instead of the righteous. Because it's pleasing to the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you having a good time? Good. So faith comes by hearing. You got to ask yourself, what am I hearing? What am I hearing? Who told me that? What am I hearing? People get out of position and get disconnected by things they hear. Music will disconnect you. You listen to that worldly garbage, you'll get disconnected. You'll be reconnected, and it won't be the right connection. Music, the voice of the stranger, worldly opinions. Worldly opinions. These things will draw you away. Amen? And of course, offenses. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Hallelujah! Staying connected. 1 John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Thank you. Starting in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare it to you. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not what? Practice the truth. If we walk in darkness, that's deception, isn't it? See, you can't practice the truth if you're deceived. You may think what you're hearing is truth, but it's not. It's deception. Come on. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? From all sin. By having fellowship with the body, we have fellowship with Christ. Everybody got it? Go to Ephesians 4. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. You know, one of the things about having fellowship in the body, it causes you to be accountable. It's accountability. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be boneheads. See, I knew it was in there somewhere. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, demons, and deceitful spirits, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. Amen? So it's important. Unity of faith and the Spirit. You'll never fulfill your God-given destiny, vision, or calling without fellowship in the body of Christ. Never. It doesn't work that way. Amen? People will become vagabonds. Can you imagine a believer becoming a vagabond? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're almost done. A couple more pages. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why are we hearing this? Because God is preparing us. He's healing us from our past, severing us from ungodly entanglements, and preparing us for our future. Not only that, he's imparting this to us so we can what? Rescue somebody else. Because you know what? There's so much division in the body of Christ. And God wants us to be in unity. In unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Ooh. For in fact the body is not one member, but what? Many members. So everybody has a specific function. Your function is known as your calling. Hello. We're going to talk about that Tuesday. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. It's amazing how many individuals I talk to that have specific opinions about church. Most of them were offended. I see marriages separated, broken up, because of opinions, worldly opinions. Instead of going in and getting counsel. Instead of going in and getting help. Many run to the world. They run to the ways of the world and the counsel of the world. Instead of the ways of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Corinthians. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Come on, read it with me. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections, your own desires, your own deception. Now in return for the same, I speak to children. You also be open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You want to get out of place right away? Hello. Well, man, I've become a believer, but now, you know, he's a good friend of mine. I'm just going to hang out there Sunday and watch football. Yeah, they'll be drinking and smoking pot, but I won't touch it. Man, you'll be bit by every serpent there is in that room. You'll be struggling and fighting. You'll think, listen, I've seen people go to the crack house and try and rescue somebody, and they didn't come out. Hello. Then they use the excuse, well, I tried to rescue him. Well, did God send you? Yes, the word says go. Well, no, it says be sent, bonehead. Hello? So when you don't know what to do, you don't do nothing. You call and you get counsel. Right? The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's what? Safety and wisdom. But they can quote every scripture and they can quote every page number, but yet they can't be obedient. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteous with lawlessness? And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said what? I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, in other words, here's the choice. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will what? Receive you. Ooh. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So he says what? Come out from among them. Come out from the ways of the world. Come out. Don't be enticed by opinions, worldly lusts, money, and offenses. Go to Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Would you read it with me? Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility. Daily. And do not be what? Conformed to this world. Hello, say it again. Do not be conformed to this world, but what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. So the word renewed means to bring to remembrance. So you know what's happening right now? Most of us know what we've been talking about today. But you know what's going on? It's being renewed. You're being refreshed. Why? Because that's what's so important about assembling. So that you can be reminded again. So the Word of God can be refreshed to you again. That's why you have Bible studies and assembling. That's why we worship and so forth. We worship ahead of time so your flesh can get anointed. So it won't bother you so much while you're listening to the word. Hello? But if you didn't sow enough, you're being bothered. You're still thinking about everything else. And the devil's stealing the seed before it can even get planted. And you'll leave here the same way you came in. Hello? Okay, we'll go on. 1 John chapter 2. Truth is what makes you free. Glory. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Is everybody there? Oh, are you ready to teach us today? Praise God, you're going to take it somewhere and tell somebody. Get in there. Oh, God's sanctifying me to Him only. You got a devil. What do you mean? It's called a familiar spirit. Hello. God does not interrupt Himself. He causes you to be assembled. Amen? Yes, there's time for separation and fasting and prayer. There's time for certain things. Yes. But He does. God does not draw His people away from His body. He draws them to His body. Amen? Why? Because that's where the price was. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Would you read it with me? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So listen, who's trying to prevent you from doing the will of God? The devil. Why? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So do you believe it's the will of God for you to have fellowship in the body of Christ? Yes. So if you're not having fellowship in the body of Christ, is it the will of God? No. Oh, then you're not doing the will of God, are you? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Go to James 4. James chapter 4. Praise be to God. Hallelujah! We got a couple of hallelujahs here anyways. Come on, let that anointing crucify that flesh. Take a drink. Lift your hands to heaven. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, fill us, Lord. Refresh us. Here comes a freshness right now in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. Quicken us, Holy Spirit. Quicken us. Crucify that flesh. And let us drink and eat in Jesus' name. James 4. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. And verse 4. Let's get right to it. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, you make yourself the enemy of God. God is not your enemy. Hello? You're his. When you have fellowship with the world, when you're a part of the world, you're an enemy towards God. Why? Because the devil's going to use... Why? Listen. The devil's going to use you to come against the will of God. He's going to anoint your flesh for his works. Now you're an enemy of God. Why? Because you're rebellious, prideful, and deceived. And because an individual is in love with the ways of the world, that's how the devil... Listen, you know what the devil's greatest power is, right? His power is what? Fear. You know what fear is associated with? Losing something. It's always afraid of losing something. Amen? Fear is always associated with losing. That's why people fall into fornication. They're afraid of losing that partner. Give it up. If it's causing you to stumble, give it up. Hello. Hello? Can everybody give me an amen on that? Amen. I'm checking your fruit. Praise God. So we make ourselves an enemy of God when we have fellowship with the world and love the things of the world. Amen? Colossians 2. No. 3. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians. Man, I thought that was something to keep you from getting wet. Oh, that's Colossians. That's okay. When I started reading the Bible, I thought they had an employment section. It was called Job. I thought it was Job. I said, what a book. Man, you can get a job through here, man. What a Bible. It knows everything. Colossians chapter 3. I'm starting at verse 1, please. 1 and 2. Is everybody there? Read it with me. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. See, so when you set your mind on the things of above, you're setting your mind on God's will. Amen? You're setting your mind on God's will. Why? Because your purpose is to fulfill God's will and not your own. Things that you're doing, that's why we're to label onto the Lord and not onto yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, Then we have two more scriptures. Staying connected with the body and getting disconnected from the world. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. Read it with me, please. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air. See, he's got his own TV station and radio station. Amen? Man, you want to, let me tell you something. TV will move you right out of connection. I mean, there is so much garbage on TV, it's phenomenal. People who watch soaps, they need to get clean. And it ain't with that kind of soap. Amen? Whoa, that's terrible soap. That's contaminated soap. The Prince of Power of Air. Like I said, you got to be careful what you listen to. What you watch. Where you fellowship. There's things that's our responsibility. The spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedient. The prince of power of error works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of what? Wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far be it that we should walk away from that. That in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Peter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. Staying connected. First Peter 4. Starting at verse 1, would you read it? Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Ooh. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. Dissipation. What is that? Dissipation, yeah. Speaking evil of you. Now listen. No one said it was going to be easy turning away from the world. Because there are people you're going to be associated with who's going to say, man, what's the matter with you? You don't love us no more? I love you. That's why I'm leaving. Hello? See, lust can't give it up. Love does. If you can't give something up, it's because you're bound by lust. Hello? Told you lust that first bite. If you can't give this person up or give things up, you're bound by lust. That's not love. Love gives up. Why? Jesus gave his life, didn't he? He said, because I love you. Hello? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. In regard to this, they think it's strange that you follow the Lord now. You know, especially in relationships. You know, you have people that are in relationships, and then one gets saved, and the other one say, no, we can't go to bed no more. The other person's upset. What do you mean? What is this? What's going on here, man? Come on, I thought you loved me. No, I lusted you. I love him now. I'm in love. When I was with you, I was in lust. But now I'm in love. But when you come to him, I can get the, you can get the same love from him, and we can have a love affair according to his will and not the lust will. There's a difference. There are people who are married, and they're married out of lust and not love. But when they come to Christ, there becomes a love affair. A love affair that can't be broken unless they choose to break out of the love affair with him. You know why people get divorced? Because they lose love affair with him. Hello? Because you got to stay married to him to stay married to them. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Staying connected. The first thing that must be done is prayer. Praise and fellowship. Hello. Prayer, praise, and fellowship. Staying connected. Why? Because in your fellowship, you're getting the word, isn't there? Not only in fellowship and connection, but your fellowship with the Lord. Because you're fellowshipping with the Lord when you're fellowshipping with the body, aren't you? I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. And I'd like everybody to read it. Hallelujah! It's a good day to die. Welcome to the house of death. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Oh, that's bondage. Starting at verse 6, read it with me. Therefore, humble yourself. I think we need to repeat that one more time. Therefore, humble yourself. One more time. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Staying connected is a part of your life. See, the word communion comes from the Greek word called koinonia. Now, Jesus even fellowshiped with them even at the Last Supper, right? He was assembled with them. And being assembled with them, he talked about, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. So prepare your hearts for communion. Amen? Because you are in fellowship, and there's another place of fellowship, and that is in communion. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you prepare our hearts even now, Master, as we repent for all of those things that have drawn us away from fellowship. We repent for associating with darkness and touching the grave. We repent for those ungodly relationships and ungodly soul ties. We repent for doing our will and not yours, Master. We repent for the lust of this world and associating with them. And we ask for your cleansing. And as we take communion this morning, my Lord, I ask, Father, that you would crucify our flesh, fill us with your Spirit, that we may be one with you, and grant us, even again today, new life with you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.